Well, I don't know about you all, but our family is huge Olympic fans. We just love the Olympics. Anybody really big fans of the Olympics? Okay, good, good. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a buy yourself a new t-shirt every 2 years kind of Olympics fan? Is that what, do we have anybody like that? I didn't think so. Wait. Are you an own your own Olympics flag kind of Olympics fan? We almost lost the Olympic Games because we had to take this down prematurely for Lydia's birthday party, so I apologize for that. But wait, there's more. Are you an own your own Olympic torch kind of Olympic fan? When Lydia was born 16 years ago, Michael Phelps was making his crushing, win at the Olympics, and Jamie went through 48 hours of very intense labor till the point she eventually had to have emergency C-section. It was a big ordeal, and as she's being wheeled back in, my father-in-law just looks at her and goes, "Well, you missed it. He won the gold." Jamie just looked at her dad and said, "You have got to be kidding me. I can't believe I missed it." So, we might be fanatics for the Olympic. There's just so much we love about the Olympics. What's incredible to me, though, is always seeing the dedication of all of those athletes. For years, those men and women have one goal in their mind, winning the gold. Standing on that podium, hearing their national anthem being sung, and having that medal hung around their neck. Everybody has a single focus. Except for that Turkish guy who looked like a soccer dad who woke up a couple weeks ago, said, "You know what, I'll be an Olympics-level marksman," and then turns around and wins the silver. But besides him, they have a clear vision and mission that drives them. This morning is our kickoff Sunday. It's kind of like a fresh start to the church calendar. Ministries are going to resume. New ones will begin. It's kind of like we all get a fresh start and with a new journey with Jesus together. It's interesting to me that the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament, often use athletic metaphors to describe our journey with Jesus. One of my favorites comes from Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, where he writes, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? So run your race in such a way that you may seize your prize and make it your own." Now, Paul isn't saying that we're in competition with one another, but what he is saying is that our journey with Jesus requires the same kind of focus and dedication and zeal as all of those Olympic athletes. Just as they train with one clear goal in mind, we are to pursue our faith with purpose and with passion, because our goal, our prize, is far greater than any mere trinket or little gold medallion. So on this kickoff Sunday, I want to do something a little bit different with the sermon. I kind of want to share the vision and the mission of the church for this coming year. Because today isn't about starting new programs or filling the calendar to make ourselves feel good and busy. It's about running the course that God has set before us, about passionately pursuing the call he has called us to. Now, like all my sermons, I do have one big idea that I want to get across. And the big idea for this sermon is really easy. It's our mission statement. Like most churches, CCA, we have a mission statement here, and I'm sure, I have no doubt that all of you have committed it to memory, that you know it by heart, you've studied it. I bet some of you have even had clay make you a nice little wooden plaque with it on, and you have hung it in your mantle. For those of you with little kids, I'm sure you've taught it to your children, that you've talked about it when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you go to bed, and when you rise. No doubt about it, but this is 8 o'clock. And some of you 10-30ers might be a little foggy in the brain, so let me help remind you. CCA is a church centered on Jesus, where we bring the love, his love, to a hurting world. Our mission is to be a people whose lives center on Jesus, and Jesus then in turn transforms us and then sends us out into the world with his love and his light, a world that desperately needs that love and light. At CCA, our vision is to be a place where the good news of Jesus transforms the world, transforms the city, transforms our neighborhood, one person at a time. That's our mission. But now the question is, how exactly are we going to get there? So let's talk about the paths this morning. I've broken it down into three steps, and it is steps. You have to take them sequentially. You can't do step two without doing step one. You can't do step three without doing step one and two. It's very simple. Be with Jesus, be formed by Jesus, be the light of Jesus. Be with, be formed, be the light of Jesus. Let's unpack that a little bit. So our path begins by being with Jesus, dwelling in his presence. Our path begins by creating a space where people can truly dwell in God's presence. Now, where does that start? Well, it starts here this morning in worship. Our worship is at the heart of our mission and our vision. We didn't read all of Psalm this morning, but the psalmist in Psalm 147 says this, "Praise the Lord, for it is a good thing." It is a good thing to sing praises unto our God. Indeed, a joyful and pleasant thing it is to be thankful unto him. Our psalmist tells us that it is simply a blessing for us to be present with the Lord in worship. There is something powerful about being present with the Lord in our worship. And so we strive to offer worship with excellence, with our utmost best. First and foremost, for the glory of God, but secondly, also because we are created to dwell with our Creator. And so our hope is on Sunday mornings when anybody walks through those doors and they dip their fingers in the baptismal font and they cross themselves with the baptismal waters, that they have a sense that they are stepping out of the chaos and the darkness of that secular world and into something sacred. That they kind of experience a spiritual oasis and can come here to simply rest and dwell in the Lord. Our hope is that as people hear our wonderful choir and organist, and they hear that music begins to sing, they get a taste of what Revelation 5 describes as the new song of the Lamb. That as their eyes are directed up by our arches onto that massive cross there, and then as they're brought back down, maybe to that stack where Christ's presence will mysteriously dwell, they're gripped by both the transcendence and immanence of Jesus. You know, every Sunday when we say the creed together, I got the best seat in the house. I'm not bragging, it's just perks of the job. So I sit there at the foot of that towering cross, and then we all declare together that we believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. And it's at that moment that I am gripped by the awesomeness of God, his vastness, his transcendence, his immensity. But then sometime during the creed, every single week, my eyes are brought down low to those flowers. And they are lovely flowers today. They have hydrangea, one of my favorites. And it hits me that this same God, who is bigger than we could ever imagine, also created every single one of those flowers. That he paid attention to every detail, every intricate pattern, every brilliant color and shade. And it's that attention to detail that reminds me that God isn't just transcendent, but he's also immanent. He is deeply involved in the smallest aspects of his creation, including us. Including us. In Matthew 10, Jesus tells us that something even as seemingly insignificant as little birds are not outside of the Father's care. What he's saying is God cares about all of creation, even those pigeons that infest our city. They're rats with wings, but to God, Amen. He cares for them. Amen. And Jesus goes on to say, but yet he cares even greater. He pays even more attention to us. So well known are we to God that he even knows the number of hairs on our head. Scripture tells us that God knows us all by name. And that truth humbles me every single week because it means that the same God who spoke the stars into existence is deeply concerned about you and me. He's not some distant God, but a God who wants to be present with us and wants us to be present with him. That is something so wonderful and beautiful. And I want everybody who walks through those doors on Sunday to experience that. Now, it starts with our Sunday morning worship, but it doesn't end there. Because there are other opportunities where we invite people to be present and dwell with Jesus. Times like our evensong services, or our lessons and carols in December, or our healing and prayer services. I'm very happy that we're going to offer the Generational Healing Eucharist again this fall. Kara Lee is going to be teaching a class on Wednesday nights titled Abide in Christ, because sometimes we just need a little bit of help slowing down and truly being present. Each of these is a moment, an opportunity that invites us to step out of the secular and into the sacred, to be present with God, the God who promises to meet us here in this place with a love and a light that is powerful and personal. And so we start by being with Jesus. And here's the incredible part. As we spend time with him, something begins to happen. When we dwell with Christ, we are then formed by Christ. We will never leave an encounter with Jesus the same person as when we first encountered him. He always transforms us. And so that's step two on our journey, be formed by Jesus. Now, this formation or transformation isn't about gaining knowledge or tweaking a few behaviors. That will happen, but that's not what it's all about. This is about a deep transformation that shapes us more and more into the likeness of Christ, a likeness that reminds us of our true identity in him, our true freedom in Christ, the true healing he offers us, the purpose he has given to each and every single one of us. Paul captures this beautifully in 2 Corinthians 3, where he says, "And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord." So all of us who are present with Jesus, he says, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What Paul is saying there is spending time with Jesus changes us from the inside out, making us more and more like him in every way. Now, here's the good news. This transformation isn't about something that we do on our own. It's not about us trying harder, striving better, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. It's about being open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, allowing Jesus to shape us, to shape our thoughts, our hearts, our actions, our attitudes, our entire being. Of course, we are invited to participate in this process, but the good news is it's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon God's grace. I like how St. Augustine said it. He said, "Without God, we cannot. Without us, God will not." So what he's saying there is it's not just some passive experience, but it's also something, not something that we can do on our own. God does all the heavy lifting. We simply follow where he leads us. And so this is foundational to what we do here at CCA. It's why we offer ministries that invite us into this transformation process. Whether it's a class that we take on Sunday morning, like Sean McGeever's class he's going to be teaching, or Deacon Matt's Wednesday night reading group, Reading with the Fathers, or whether we join a life group, these are all about participating in this formation process, participating in the work Christ is doing in us. These aren't just programs to keep us busy. They're opportunities to be present with the Lord, present with his people, and having God shape our hearts, our minds, and our hands. And we do this because here at CCA, we are committed to the vision that Christ is transforming the world with the gospel one person at a time. And that transformation begins with each and every one of us. Now, here's the thing about our formation. We are not going to be just changed for our own sake. Our discipleship is not just about us, but it's also about us being a blessing to the world. It's about sharing the love and the light that we've been given with a world that needs it. And so when we're with Jesus and we're then formed by Jesus, we're then going to be sent out to be the light of Jesus. Every week in our worship service, we end the service by praying together, "Lord, send us out to do the work you've given us to do." And then the deacon, he says, "Let us go forth to love and serve the Lord." The liturgy every week sends us out into the world to live as children of light, to bring the love of Jesus to every part of the corners of our lives. I don't know if you know this, but in some churches they call this service a mass. And I used to think that that meant it's when the mass of people come together. But it's actually a Latin word, which means mission. This whole service is about sending us out with a mission. God sends us out with a mission every single week. Paul reminded us this morning in Ephesians, "You are the light of the Lord, so walk as children of the light," because we're called to take that light to people who need it, to our homes, to our workplaces, to our communities. And we take that seriously here. That's why we partner with ministries both locally and globally. Ministries like Phoenix Refugee Connection and Antioch Network and Anglican Relief and Development. Because we're called to extend the love of Jesus beyond these walls. That's why we have our ministry partner days, because we don't want to be a church that just writes a check, but we want to be involved with our hands, with our time, with our talents, living out the gospel in tangible ways. But let me be clear, mission isn't something that happens just out there beyond the walls of the church. It also happens here. In fact, the church is the mission. We are ground zero. We are the mission. Everything we do, therefore, is about fulfilling that mission. It's about inviting people into our church family. This is what drives us to do things like our movie on the lawn, or our cookouts, or having a massive water slide in the front yard, because we want to invite our neighborhood to experience Jesus' light and love, because that is the mission of the church. It's why we're going to be offering evangelism for the care of the soul with Sean McGeever, because we want you to feel equipped to share the good news of Jesus in compassionate and gracious ways. Two shout-outs in one sermon, Sean. That's $20. These are just a few ways in which we're living into that call to be the light and love of Jesus. But ultimately, it comes down to this. We do all of this because at Christ Church, it is our vision to transform the world with the gospel one person at a time. And that starts by us being the light and love of Jesus. As we wrap up this morning, I hope you see that you are being called to become a spiritual athlete, that just like those Olympians, we have a clear vision and a clear mission. Our race, though, is far more valuable than some medal or trinket. It's for the life of this world. It's about being a community centered on Jesus who brings his love to a hurting world. It starts by simply being present with him, dwelling in his presence. And as we dwell in that presence, he shapes us, he conforms us from the inside out. And then once we're changed, he sends us back out into the world to share that same love and light he's given us. And so, my brothers and sisters, we stand here this morning at the starting line, the start of another year, another race. But this isn't just any race, it's the race of faith. And so I say with St. Paul, let us run with everything we've got, because the life of the world needs it. As we go forth today, let's run with purpose and passion and with the unshakable conviction that we are not running alone. Jesus is always with us, forming us, guiding us, and sending us out to be his light. Let's lace up those spiritual shoes, fix our eyes on the ultimate prize, and run the race before us. Amen.